Amen. Greetings to each one in Jesus' name that I've been very much ministered to already here this morning, and very grateful to be here with each one. I trust we've all made that decision here this morning. The cross before me and the world behind me. Amen. We have turned to the Lord and have put the world behind us. Here in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I believe and trust that this is our testimony also, that we see that the Lord is good. He has been good to us so abundantly, as a brother shared already this morning. Thank you, Brother Jason and Brother Marcus, for ministering into us and the children already. And Brother Steve, your thoughts in Mark 14 really blessed me, as with the Lord's help, we would desire to see if we can scratch the surface scratch the surface of faith. And I very much blessed me to consider to share on faith here this morning. And Brother Steve gave us an invitation, as the Lord does to each one of us. He said, does any of us find ourselves here this morning in the same way that Peter found himself, possibly sinking and taking our eyes off the Lord? And maybe too often I find myself there. And so I believe there's an invitation for each one of us if we have little faith here this morning. He said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so if we have little faith, I believe the Lord can meet our needs, I believe. How excellent, here in Psalm 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Thank you. So in faith, we put our trust in him and in under the shadow of his wings. So Jesus wants to do the same for me and for you as he did to Peter. I believe he continues to reach out his hand and looking to help us. Maybe, I don't know, Brother Rufus, would you be willing I don't know if you want to get a mic to Brother Rufus or if he wants to come up here and pray for me as we continue to seek the Lord here, to desiring to magnify his name. So as we, Brother Rufus, has been a dear brother-in-law to me, and so my wife Linda, who has spent some time here with you brothers, have blessed her abundantly back in 2007, right in that time frame, I believe, and with Brother Rufus here, and so we thank you for your labors on my dear wife's behalf. And so maybe we could just continue to seek the Lord here in prayer.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we pause here this morning in your presence, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness to all of mankind. And And Father, as we pause here this morning, we just have needs, Lord, to hear from your word again and to be drawn more into your image and Father, that we could be more like you, that as you were holy and harmless and separate from sinners, and you were made higher than the heavens. I just pray that you would just do a deeper work in us. And I pray that you'd be with Brother Reuben here as he shares. Pray that you would just quiet his heart and give us peace and just open hearts to hear from you. We just thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you'd be with us and keep us in your care. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, so we bring greetings with us from the little church at Keystone. We appreciate each one of you and have been blessed to walk with you. And we do look forward to walking together in the future as we need each one of you to endeavor to be faithful until the end, to run our race faithfully until the end. Here in opening, I'm going to read a few scriptures, a scripture here to Romans 1. As we consider, I'll just jump in here in verse 6, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ, and to whom that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. As I considered sharing a message on faith, and I considered each one of you here and the brothers and sisters here, and he's addressing them here in Rome, and maybe we could say to you all here, Allen County, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And so I thank each one of you for your faithfulness, as the brother already has shared, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And this grace, may this grace and peace from God our Father be upon each one of us here this morning, and may that grace and peace be very much active and a reality in our hearts here this morning. So when you order a piece of equipment or a vehicle, there are certain options that you have to choose to have the manufacturer add. But in our lives, you know, is in my walk with the Lord, is there any way that faith is optional? And I believe it is not. And we want to just search the scriptures here a little bit and see if we can get a few glimpses of if faith should be optional in our lives. This won't be a complete study here this morning, but my desire is that I could come alongside with the Lord's help, and we could be an encouragement to you, each one of you here, and that our faith together could grow. Amen, that our faith together can grow. So Mark 2, we are going to read verses 1 through 12. If you want to turn to Mark 2. It's a very familiar account to each one of you. And starting here in verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. So faith here in the Greek would be 4102. Speaking of when Jesus saw their faith, it would mean persuasion, moral conviction, a religious truth or truthfulness of God or as a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Abstractly, constancy in profession, belief, faith, vitality. Especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. The Webster's 828 would say, the assent of the mind of the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without evidence, the judgment that what another states or testifies is true, simple belief of the scriptures of the being and perfections of God, and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance and dependence on his merits for salvation. Really stood out to me. It says, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and the character and doctrines of Christ with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance and dependence on his merits for salvation. That is much for me to take home personally here this morning, of speaking of depending upon God's character. Faith is a dependence upon God's character. Jesus saw their faith by them making a hole in the roof and putting down their sick friend to Jesus to be healed. He could see that they were persuaded that Jesus could bring them their willing, that Jesus could help them by their willingness to take action and bring the sick to Jesus. And so that just always amazes me when he says he saw their faith. As you consider that, that saw is the same as seeing Greek number 1492, which is found in Matthew 5:1, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Also Mark 11:13, and seeing a fig tree, and it's speaking of physically seeing one, someone, or something in person, or is in a thing right before our eyes. And seeing a fig tree afar off and having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of figs was not yet. So this as he saw their faith, from what I understand, it's the same Greek definition as seeing the multitudes or seeing the fig tree. Isn't that amazing as we think of Jesus seeing their faith? And could that be that they put their faith to action? Amen. That they were living their faith out. They were living what they believed, and went to work making a way for the sick to be in front of Jesus to be healed. They opened up a way through the roof. Also, here in Acts 16, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. That's the same definition as when Jesus saw their faith, from what I understand. R.C. Sproul would say, the issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. You know, I say I believe in God, or I believe Him, but do I truly believe in Him? Faith is something that I need every minute and every hour of the day. I believe this faith is something that is, it is, I just, it's like, just considered this morning of we do so many things by faith. You know, we have some confidence and some trust in many things that we just operate and go through daily lives. We're wanting to lift up and encourage a simple faith that is grounded and settled on God's word. If God said it, then I will believe it and act upon it. You know, there is, as we think of just our young children and how they trust their daddy, they trust their mommy, and they just lay everything else aside, and whatever daddy says or whatever mommy says, that's all that matters. They have so much faith in daddy and in mommy. And so may that simple faith be a reality in my heart here this morning to the Lord, that if the Lord said it, if the Word of God says it, then I want to believe it and endeavor to walk in it. A faith that our sons and daughters, the ones come behind us, are able to see being lived out in me. A faith that they also are able to grab a hold of and claim for themselves and live by. You know, many times it seems this, sometimes faith can almost be slippery, and I don't claim to understand it at all, but it's how can we endeavor to live in a way that by faith that they can see it being lived out, and we with our words are able to teach them according, and that they too can make it a reality in their hearts. A faith in Jesus Christ is much more than a mental assent, but changes how I respond to my sons. I had to think of of how I respond to my sons, respond to other people. There in Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So do I believe these scriptures that he's able to keep me from falling? And I believe this is maybe too often I don't put faith into action like I should in my own life, and don't make it a reality from my side of the responsibility. So he's able to keep us from falling, that I can respond. in a godly manner to my sons. If something, you know, something happens and the chickens get out or the pigs get out, or you know, you brothers know better than I do, and all those situations, and you know, and how do I respond in those situations? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13-14. Brothers and sisters, do we believe this by faith here this morning? And I believe we do, that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I believe this is by faith, you know, that we believe this and put it to action, that the old things are passed away and all things are become new. A faith that believes in the promises of God and who God is and responds to these truths. Now we could go through Hebrews chapter 11, and I have one here of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet as yet, but moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That account always just really blesses me as I think of the years that he labored to continue to prepare that ark. It seems to me that he had to be very convinced of the work that it was going to need to take, the perseverance and the endurance. So he's warned of God of things not seen. So he didn't see them, but he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now to think of us fathers, you know, isn't there an aspect of this in our own homes, in our own brotherhoods, that we have to take steps to prepare an ark for our young people, our children come behind us, to save them from this world and from sin. Here, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe by faith, we believe this scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe we, each one here, I trust we put our hand to the plow and we look forward. We don't look back. And don't continue to drag the sins of our youth in front of us. A faith that changes the way I live and make decisions. I had to think of the scripture here in 1 Peter 5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isn't that an amazing promise that we can believe this morning, that if we choose to be humble, he gives us grace. We're going to look at a few examples of Christ honoring these individuals' faith. And the first one here is in Mark 1, Jesus cleansing a leper. And we are just going to jump in here at verse 40. Mark 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze the matter abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could do no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So this leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." You know, he's saying, "Lord, if it's your will," and I believe we find ourselves many times in our own, maybe there's physical ailments at times in our own families, in our children, or in other loved ones, or different situations, when we know it's only God, it's but God that can remedy the situation, can bring healing. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And I believe we could say that he saw there his faith here also, as he came to Jesus and knelt down before him and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The leper believed that it is God's will. If it's God's will to make him clean, God is able. And the second one we're going to look at is in Mark 5. We're going to jump in verse 24, Mark 5:24. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague.'" So she came to Jesus, and in her mind she was saying, "If I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That gave me a lot to think about as she... In that moment already, she said she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And the woman, in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Here, John chapter 9, we'll just start here in verse 1 for another account. John chapter 9, verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was born blind, which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which came before had seen him that he was blind said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said he unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and I received sight." So what stands out to me in this account is how Jesus put clay on his eyes. But he wasn't healed right then. But he gave him a commission. He gave him a command and said, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And this man was obedient. Amen. He did his part. His part of the responsibility of the promise of if he goes and washes, he was made whole. He could see. So that speaks to me. I believe as we by faith believe the promises of God, I need to take action in the promises to make them a reality in my own life. And the last one here in Acts 14, jumping in at verse 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up, stand upright on thy feet.' And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that Paul had done what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.'" So he heard Paul speak, who was steadfastly beholding him. So he was steadfastly beholding Paul, I believe. And perceiving that he had faith, Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. So that just blessed me as I thought of, well, how did he perceive that this man had faith to be healed? Was it how attentive he was? How was he living and acting that he perceived he had faith? And he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Kind of switching gears here a little bit. There's a verse in Hebrews says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I had to think of the account here in Matthew 3, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So this is, from what I understand, God the Father saying, "Consider my Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the Greek number for without faith, it is impossible to please him. So please him is Greek number 2100, to gratify completely, to please, to well. So that's for without faith, it is impossible to please him, is to gratify completely. Greek number for "this is my beloved Son, is in whom I am well pleased," is Greek number 2106, to think well of, approve, to think good, please be well pleased, be the good, have take pleasure. So I guess it blessed me of how God was saying, consider my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe each one of us as sons, and I'm still a young man, a young son. And so there's something in each one of us that want to please our fathers. Amen. You know, it always was quite a boost if dad said, wow, son, that's a good job. That looks really good. And so we want to please our earthly father, and I believe each one of us desire that acknowledgement from our heavenly father. And so it says, without faith, so I need faith to please him. Amen. It is impossible to please him without faith. A faith that changes how I respond to an unbeliever. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither uncircumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Faith that works by love. It is empowered and guided by love. Worketh here in the Greek would be 1754. It says to be active, efficient, effectual. Be mighty, show forth, work effectually. It is a faith that is effectual. That is activated. I believe the Greek word is energio. Energio, which makes me think of energy. It's active. The faith is active, activated by love. I had to think of Abraham and Isaac. And I may just read a good bit of this account here in Genesis 22. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of these mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. It always, here again, it just amazed me of Abraham's endurance. He says on the third day, so they've been journeying a while. And I don't know how you brothers find yourselves, but if you have... Many times if I have a big decision in front of me, I tend to think about it at times and maybe a little too much. Amen. And so I imagine Abraham was thinking about this. And he here again had to be convinced and persuaded in his heart. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Is this faith here? That he said, we're going to go yonder and worship, but we're both going to come back. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. That's an amazing picture of the love that Abraham, you can see the love and the care Abraham had for his son. And it seems like they had a relationship that I want to continue to grow in as a father. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You see his faith being active, I believe. Saying that God will provide a lamb. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. That's interesting. His response is the same way. It's recorded the same way as when God came to him and sent him on this mission. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And the Lord did provide a lamb. Amen. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And I believe this is a great key that I need to take home and walk in each day. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. We could say, because thou hast obeyed the word of God. You know, it's his voice lines up with the word of God. Amen. Here in Matthew 21, jumping in verse 18. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he had saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forevermore. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I believe Christ is still in the business of moving mountains in our lives. As we think of situations or needs in our lives, where it gets to be such a big deal to us that it pretty much turns into a mountain many times. It looked like a mountain to us. But as we go to God in prayer and surrender our wills, he says in Matthew, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So I believe he's still in the business of moving mountains in our lives here today. Maybe you have a mountain in your life this morning of you're not sure how you will get over it or around the mountain. But he's inviting us to come to him. If we are laboring, if we're toiling and are heavy laden, and he, Christ Jesus, will give us rest. And in finding that rest, I believe it's taking our yoke upon us, taking Christ Jesus upon us and learning of him. For he is meek and lowly in heart, and we shall find rest. For his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Here in Luke 11, he says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So I thought of faith, and of faith being active, you know, and I believe in the Greek, it gives a picture of to ask is to beg, to call for, to crave. And desire. It speaks of a picture of begging, of keeping on asking and asking that the Lord would continue to help me with my needs in my own life, and to knock and it shall be opened to us. Persistent faith. I just thought of a persistent faith wins. You know, if we are continuing to be persistent in our faith. And to knock and keep knocking and ask and keep asking. So I want to encourage each one of you all in that way here this morning to keep knocking and keep asking of the Lord. Faith is more than agreeing that something is true. Faith becomes real when I act upon it and put it into shoe leather, I believe. It is more than believing that something's true, but putting it into shoe leather. Isaac Watts would say, I believe the promises of God enough to venture an eternity on them. You know, he believes the promises of God, you could say the Word of God, enough to venture an eternity on them, to take chance of losing eternity with God is kind of what I understand from it. He believes the Word of God enough to live according to them, to venture an eternity on them. Here in Luke 17, then verse 1, Luke 17, verse 1, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I guess this is, I believe, just a very practical example for me and each one of us here. It says, if thy brother trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I believe by faith we should forgive our brother. Amen. and move forward by faith, you know, in my actions showing that I did forgive him. You know, it's and so these are very hit very home in my own life as we you know, there's real situations that come up and we have to say I'm sorry. And the blessing of that brother, of that sister, then moving forward by faith as if that didn't happen. And he calls us here to forgive him and to forgive him by faith, I believe. He says, increase, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I believe that's my desire here this morning, and to that he would increase our faith. Then here in closing, Ephesians 3, for this, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, a world without end. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think, can ask or think. I had to think this morning, do I by faith believe that promise? That he can do more than our mortal minds can think or ask. You know, more than because he's so far above us, and his power is beyond what we can understand. According to the power that worketh in us. And he's speaking of his power that's working in us. So brothers and sisters, I pray that this could be an encouragement for each one of you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in our hearts by faith, that we'd be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord's blessings to each one.